Well, what did we talk about last week? Anybody? Was that John? Joy? Talked about joy. We talked about being thankful. And what were the texts out of? There were two books. Just in case anybody read the one I suggested to read this week. Philippians, and the other one? 1 Thessalonians, and who wrote those books? Paul wrote those books. All right. Well, last week we talked about how Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your greatness be evidence to all. And that was Philippians. The Lord is near. Well, we talked about how do we find that joy in all of our circumstances. How was Paul able to say, I'm joyful, even though I'm in prison. I'm joyful, even though I'm being persecuted. Well, joy, we decided, comes from a deep, unmovable foundation, which is Christ. And Paul keeps his eyes on Jesus and the promises, on Jesus' promises of life, on relationship with him, on agape love, and on the sacrifice, instead of focusing on where Paul was at that time. So even though his circumstances around him were bad, his focus, he was in the zone on Christ. So I just since it's Thanksgiving month, let's focus on the things to be thankful for. Let's focus today on our unmovable foundation of God's love for us. Now, what we need to keep in mind is that in a world that says, do, 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 you need to do this and you need to do that for happiness, you need to do this for love, you need to do this for faith and religion, what happens when all it is you just do, do, do? You end up in a bunch of doo-doo, right? Right. But God's message says, it's done. D-O-N-E, it's done. And if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn into Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read verses 4 through 10. Chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. And I read that this week and I was like, man, that's awesome. Because God's message says that it's already done. And right here, it's just talking about that. It says, God chose us before creation to be holy and blameless. He had already chosen us. He doesn't say he goes and he's choosing us. He chose us before creation to be holy and blameless. And because he had already chosen us, he already had that. He let nothing stop him, no amount of sin, of making a way for us to become holy and blameless, just as he, as it says, predestined us to be. In verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. That passage is just full. It's just full of the power of God's all-knowing. He's predestined us to be with him, and just the comfort of knowing that he didn't let anything stop, anything that we could do, stop him from making a way for us to be redeemed through Christ, and to have that holiness and that blamelessness like he designed us to be. Ephesians verses 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. That sounds pretty good to me. Having faith in Christ, we were marked with a seal, God's seal of the Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance in God. That's done. God chose us before our fall so that he knew. God chose us before we fell into sin. So he knew that if there was still a way for us to become holy and blameless, he would do it. And he did it. Be thankful that God chose us and finished his way to save us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. We'll do verses 21 through 24. Actually, I'm going to read all the way down through 26. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Actually, I'm going to stop right there. Just like I said, I was going to read in the first place. So it says, we all fall short and we're all freely justified by the grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So we went from doing, like it says here, how we were apart from God in the law, and we had to keep to the law, and we had to do all of these things. We had to be in constant motion of forgiving us for our sins and coming to God and cleansing ourselves so that we could still be. But it says that we all fall short, and we're all freely justified by the grace through the faith in Jesus Christ. So we went from keeping the law to the law being done in Jesus Christ. Jesus finished the law. Turn with me into 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 11. Just right next to Romans there. Chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. That is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Now that's pretty powerful right there, I think. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? So he's saying we're wicked. We were wicked. We were wicked, not are. We were wicked. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be washed. We can be sanctified and justified in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of our God. That's great. If that didn't go on and say were, I don't know. We'd have some problems. We need to be thankful for God's plan for us in Christ and understand that without knowing Christ, we all fall short. And that's pretty hard to say that we are wicked and we are sin. But it says it very clearly that without Christ, we do fall short. But in Christ, we are justified through his blood. I read this and I'm like, well, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? That doesn't sound very good if you get up and say that if you don't have Christ, then you're wicked. That sounds pretty bad. But it's a hard message to swallow because no one wants to think of themselves as sin or wicked. But we have to get real with ourselves. And that's what Paul did. When you think about Paul and all his circumstances and all his transgressions and all the things that he did, no matter where he was, Jaren's singing over there, it's really cute. No matter where he was or what happened to him, he was real with himself in knowing that he was wicked, that he had persecuted Christians, that he had played against God. It's only through Christ that he was justified. He was real with himself. He didn't say, you know, I was a pretty good guy, so, you know, I don't really need it because I'm a pretty good person. And to say that is to not be real. And that's kind of what the world tells us to do, isn't it? I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. Accountability, it's a thing of the past. But that's not the truth. The truth is that we're not okay. I'm not okay. It's only through Jesus Christ that I'm okay, and I need him. And we need him. It's through that understanding that Paul came to realize, just like it says in Thessalonians, that everything else in his life he counted as rubbish, as garbage, compared to knowing Christ, because without it, that's what he was. Just garbage. Just like the rest of it. Unless we have Christ, we fall short. So what does that mean? And I'm running this through my mind, and what does it mean to fall short of God? Let's go back to the beginning. We're in the Garden of Eden. God predestined us to be holy and blameless, and that's how he started it out. Walking in the garden with Adam and Eve, talking directly with Adam. Adam was pure and he was blameless. He did not know sin. at that point. And it was just the way God predestined it to be, the way he had planned it. And then the serpent comes up, the devil comes up and introduces Adam and Eve to sin, and they partake and they fall. And because God is righteous and holy and pure, he can no longer walk along the impure, because he is pure. So what happened was the devil started this war. And this chasm, this great chasm opened up. And here's God over here. And here's man over here. And here's Satan, because God threw him out of heaven. So here he is to do his work. And he says, see that chasm? Your people can no longer get to you because you're pure and you're holy. And I knew that. And now that they're not, you're separated. So what's it like? The devil has been doing this battle for ages. Been doing it for ages. And here's people, and they come up to the edge of the chasm, and we're all drawn to something, aren't we? We would be lying to ourselves if we didn't know that deep down inside we're drawn to something. And it's because God predestined us to be with him. Our destination is heaven. We come to the edge of that chasm, but we can't get across it, and we look over and we see, there's my God. There's my destination, but there's no way across it. And sometimes the world sucks us back away. Ah, you can't get across that. You can do all this other stuff, though. And you can do all these other things, and the devil's job is to distract us. To distract us. Well, God said, enough is enough. I predestined you to be with me. I'm going to make a way for you to be with me. So he sends his son, Jesus Christ, down. And he says, the law requires a sacrifice that is pure and holy one time. I'm going to send a one-time sacrifice that is so pure and so holy that it wipes out everybody's sin who believes in him. They can put it on him. And so he sends down Christ, and we nail him up one arm, and we nail him up the other arm, and we kill him. And in 3 days, he rises again, and he conquers death. And then God takes Christ, and he sets him in the chasm just like this, and God touches Christ on one hand, and then our other hand, we can grab Christ's other hand. And here's the bridge, and it's a one bridge. You've got this whole chasm, no matter how wide, no matter how deep, there is Christ, and he will always reach both sides. And he will always take your sin through your faith in him. That's how God fixed it. That's how God fixed it. And that's why it says the road is narrow, the gate is narrow. There's only one way. And it's Christ. You just have to have faith in him. You have to go to him. And when you have faith in Christ and you grab him and he gets into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes from God through Christ to you, placing that stamp on you. So that when God comes for his chosen, he will know that you are chosen. Is that something to be thankful for? John chapter 19, verse 28, the death of Jesus. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. See, this takes us back to that predestination, the scripture would be fulfilled. If you go back and read a couple of the Psalms, I think Psalm 66 and Psalm 69 is a psalm written that specifically talks about the things that happened to Christ that David wrote. And it said that when he would drink, they would give him sour wine or sour drink, and he would drink it, and it would be finished. And so to fulfill the scriptures, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave of his spirit. It is finished because Christ conquered death and rose again. And Satan cannot move him because he conquered Jesus. So no matter how wide he makes a chasm, Jesus is wider. No matter how deep, Jesus is deeper. No matter what goes on, he cannot move Christ. Christ will always be there. So now all the devil has is distract us from Jesus, because he knows it's a narrow gate. He says, if I can distract people from it, that's all I've got left, because all we have to do is spread the gospel, and when it gets to people, the devil can't stop it. And when Christ comes again, when God comes for his chosen and we have that seal and he takes us and we reach our destination and the chasm is closed and God comes and he does the work that he had predestined to do, he will know that we have been chosen because we had faith in Christ. And because Christ said, it is finished, it is finished, it is finished, it is finished. He doesn't say it started. He says, you are finished. Nobody can stop it now. But without Christ, it's not finished. And without Christ, it's not done. It takes faith. The prayer is that, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you can take my sins, and I believe that you can come in me and please live in my heart. Redeem me by your blood. Sanctify me and justify me so that the Holy Spirit can put that seal on my life so that you will know that I am yours. If you haven't prayed that prayer, it's not done. If you have prayed that prayer, be thankful. It is done, and the devil cannot take it away. He can do anything to you, but take away your salvation. And when we go through times of trials and we go through times of hurting, we have to keep our eyes focused on our unmovable foundation of Jesus Christ spread across that chasm. Unmovable. In faith in him, it is finished.